Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm going to be back here in 48 hours. You want to know what? Because as I was walking around American Dream, I saw that Mr. Beast has a burger shop. And my 8-year-old is a little obsessed with Mr. Beast. And so I think we're going to have a Saturday afternoon at American Dream eating some burgers at Mr. Beast.
I think I have a Mr. Beast right here.
A little care package for Mr. Beast?
A little care package for Mr. Beast.
Yeah, don't say anything because I got that as a surprise for my son.
Nice.
I got one too.
Yeah, don't say anything. But yeah, they got...
Thank you, Mr. Beast.
Thank you, Mr. Beast. They got a ton of stuff around here. They got tons of places to eat. We played laser tag earlier today. That went horribly wrong as I was shot by like 10 kids, including both of your daughters, Tiki. They took great pleasure in lasering me many times.
All the kids went after me and you and I think Sean. And that's why Tommy won by like... double our score.
Tommy's laser tag performance, I'll say it, was probably one of the greatest sports accomplishments this city has seen in a very long time.
Asterisk, though.
Yeah. Why is there an asterisk?
I'm going to say something because I paid attention to it throughout the game.
Go ahead.
And they do a great job over at the Hasbro game room.
Yeah.
Tommy got the one defective vest.
Oh, is that what you think?
Every time I shot Tommy directly with the laser, it did not register. And I believe he got the high score because he had nothing negative.
Yeah, so I'm going to defend positive Tommy because Tommy, when asked about laser tag, had a glimmer in his eye that seemed unnatural. And because he doesn't have kids, he had no problem attacking the kids.
Yes.
They're part of the game. Positive Tommy's not going to show any mercy. I don't care if you're 8 years old. You're an opponent.
So cold-blooded.
No, I understand. He's a cold-blooded man. Here he is, my favorite Giant, Tyrone Tracy. Tyrone, I don't know if you know this, but you're my favorite New York Giant. Nice to see you. And that's been for years now, not just the last 45 minutes, I promise. Can you, by the way, before we talk to Tyrone, can you tell Bad Tiki we're going to do him a little bit later on? He needs to wait for Tyrone Tracy.
Yes. He's not going to be happy.
But just tell him.
He may go after Tyrone next week, but I'll let him know.
I think that Bad Tiki and Tyrone will probably have a good relationship anyway, so let him know. So anyone waiting on Bad Tiki, we will get to him in just a few minutes. But joining us right now, one of the running backs of the New York Football Giants. He was drafted last year. And that is Tyrone Tracy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Appreciate y'all having me out here.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, always.
How you feel? How's your off season been treating you?
It's been different. It's been different. You know, this is my first official like off season. You know, since I've was like 10. You know, every year you're always doing basketball, track, football, 707, AAU. This is the first time I got to like just really relax and like kick my feet up and just take some time for myself and. Really just visualize and, take in what happened, throughout the season, throughout this past year. But it was really good.
Your last year in college, did you transfer the year before? Or was it 2 years before?
2 years before. So I was at Iowa for the first 3 years. Then the last 2 years, I was at Purdue.
Nice. And so you really have had movement going on a lot. I mean, Iowa, then transfer to Purdue, and then now obviously here in New York. How have you found New York? I'm talking about the energy of the fan base and – and just living. I see you're living it up on social media these days. But
I love it. I love it. I love New York. And I really do. It's very versatile. You got a lot of different things in one area. You got a lot of different food in one area. And I'm still, I'm a foodie myself. So, any of y'all got any food suggestions, y'all please let me know because I love some food. City tea, food, pizza and bagels. I hear it, right. Pizza and bagels.
Right.
I love it. The fans are amazing. I love the diehard Giants fans. I really do, and I feel like that is one of the main things that that holds New York and makes it New York.
Right. We buttered you up enough.
Oh, yeah, now you're going in for the kill.
Right. Who do you want the Giants to draft tonight?
Who do I want him? You can't go wrong at number 3. You really can't.
Let's hope we don't.
I promise you can't go wrong at
Tyrone,
number 3.
Tyrone, hold on. Before you continue, here's how they could go wrong. And I know Tiki would be upset. I know all these Giant fans would be upset. And I would think you'd be upset if they draft Ashton Jeanty at number 3.
Yeah, there's no need to do that, but
That's the one.
Yeah, there's no need to do that. But to be honest with you, I think that, you know, they'll draft, you know, Travis Hunter or I've seen a lot of different you know, experts, you know, quote unquote experts, you know, talk about draft.
By the way,
Hunter.
None of us know what the hell we're
talking about. Yeah, I mean, I would say don't quote me. I'm not in draft rooms. I'm not, you know, they don't tell me anything. I'm just a rookie. I'm just going off of my, you know, football knowledge, football IQ, of, you know, what would be best, you know, if I was in that, you know, position.
If they end up drafting a quarterback at number three, would you go, whoa? Like, what would your reaction be to that?
No, not necessarily, because if you draft a quarterback, you're basically saying that it's for development, kind of like Atlanta did last year with Mike. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a vet that came in and played. You know, Mike went in, you know, from time to time throughout the season. And now, you know, he's the starting quarterback. So,
have you had a chance to meet and talk with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston so far?
Yeah, they're here now. They're here now. So they're going through OTAs with us.
What's their interaction like with the rest of you guys? Because I know they both are very unique personalities.
And they're very different, too. They're very different. So, like,
no kids.
You know, Russ is kind of like a he's very straightforward, mm-hmm. you know, but Jameis is everywhere. Like, Jameis is like cracking jokes, but like serious at the same time. Like, we'll be doing like a list, but like, and the running backs will be over here, and he'll be listening like to what the running backs are doing, but like the quarterbacks are over there like doing arm workouts and stuff. Like, he's a good dude. But like, the main thing I'm taking away from right now, again, it's only what, day 3, day 4, that they are like true and behold leaders, you know? So like, they are real life leaders of men. So you don't really need a head coach or offensive coordinator or position coach to step up and say something, because you have Russ and you have Jameis Winston in there making sure that we're doing the right things. As you know, everyone knows, we have a young team.
Yes.
So when you have a young team, it's kind of hard to find that leadership within a young team. So now we have two vets at the quarterback position, you know, that are going to help us in that way.
So last year, and these guys know because I say it every year, I hate rookies. I can't stand the fact that
you
didn't do nothing. In fact, you're one of the rookies I like. Oh, and it was only because I was calling the game when you broke out.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Which was the Seattle game. And it was your first chance to start. And the one thing I noticed about you, and I kept saying this on the broadcast, is your patience. Like, the reason rookies bother me is because they're so quick. And I was this way, by the way. I was terrible as a rookie because I was way too fast trying to get to the hole. I was way too fast trying to make blocks. I was way too fast trying to snatch and do things. But you have this patience and calm about you, which led to a bunch of big plays. I didn't figure that out until I was 27 or 26 years old or so. How did your rookie season come about so quickly, at least in our eyes, even though it probably took a lot of work from you know, off season through week 5 or 6?
I would say film. I mean, I watch a lot of film. And when I watch film, it's not, you know, obviously watching the good things. It's watch what I can do better. If you watch some of my first games, which I wasn't really getting the ball that much, but when I got the ball, I was just, like, running really fast. Running really fast, either left or right, just trying to make a quick decision and get some yards.
Right.
And then after I, you know, watched it and kind of slowed everything down, I realized that I was just moving too fast. Like, I was passing the lineman that was trying to create a hole for me, so I had to wait for the hole to happen and then turn on the jets and hit it. So that's kind of how it happened for me. And then after, I want to say, like, the Seattle game, the Bengals and the Pittsburgh game, that was kind of when, like, the switch kind of flipped for me. Like, okay, this is how it's supposed to happen.
Right.
And now it's kind of like a rinse and repeat, you know, type of thing. But yeah, that mud hit me in my heart a couple times. But, you know, I feel like a lot of situations you go through in life, you have to experience. You know, someone can't tell you you need to do this unless, like, you experience it. Then now, when we go through stuff in the facility, we go through practice, now I know the situations, how important the situations are. Now I know how important, you know, ball security when it's, you know, overtime or when it's, you know, games on the line, you know. So understanding that, and then also I just think I need to get better at, like, I would say, my burst, but I feel like my burst is good, but more so my stopping burst. So making a move, but then also, like, getting back to 100, you know, right now. So that's, like, some of the people I watch, like Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, he's one of the dudes that I watch that's like, okay, he has that stop and go that really makes him different, you know, from a lot of other dudes.
when you had that big fumble, I was using Tiki as the sounding board of like, what's he going through? What's he thinking about? Because Tiki mentioned he had those issues early in his career. What was that week like? Were you walking around with the football all week? Like, how did you handle it? Because obviously you overcame it, but what was that like?
Yeah, it was tough, man. It was really tough, man. Because, like, obviously, like, you got the people on social media, like, beating you down. But, like,
I'm glad you can't look at that, bro.
I know. But that's the thing. Like, it's nowadays, like, it's so hard to get around it because, like, you know, everything's off of, you know, on social media. I got people, like, finding my phone number and, like, calling me and stuff. Like, it was crazy. But I got through it. One, I stay prayed up. I believe in God. So, like, really, my faith kind of took over because I know everything happens for a reason. So that kind of took over. But then also my teammates, man. Like, my teammates was, like, a huge part in that. Like, they was basically telling me, like, yo, like, just because that happened, don't let that define you as a player, you know, as a person. You know, you can come back better. Like, and then everyone kind of had their own story, you know, because everyone has that story in the NFL to where, like, either it's a fumble, either it's a pick, either, you know, it's a missed tackle for, you know, for a touchdown, or it's a bomb over your head. Like, everyone has that one play to where, you know, it kind of sticks with you throughout, you know, your career. And they was like, yo, like, at least you got it over with in, you know, in your rookie season.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
That's what everyone kept saying. At least you got over it in your rookie season. But, you know, for me, like I said, I got through it, just kind of stay faithful. And then I was carrying the ball around. I was doing that. Like, every day after practice, you know, I would run 100 yards every 5 yards, run with the ball, touch the ground, get up. Run with the ball, touch the ground, get up. 100 yards down, 100 yards back. I'd do that every day. And then, yeah, ball security was, like, the main thing for me when I was in practice. So, but, yeah.
We're talking to Tyrone Tracy here at American Dream. I don't know if you guys feel this or hear it, but this regime, Dave's regime, kind of is on the hot seat.
Yeah.
And as players, I can imagine that's tough. I went through it a couple of years with Jim Fossil. We were able to push through it until the final one, and obviously Tom Coughlin came in. But do you guys listen and hear all that stuff? And if so, what do you guys talk about regarding it?
To be honest with you, like, we don't really see it or hear it. He's approaching it as if, you know, this is just another year. You know, obviously we're getting better from what we did last year, but, like, he's bettering some of the stuff that he did wrong last year as well. You know, same as us. Like, you know, he's, you know, looking in the mirror, seeing what he could do better, and then, you know, he's getting better just like we should do the same. So I think as a leader of men, you have to do that first. You have to look at yourself in the mirror, you know, talk about what you can do better before you can talk about others. So that's what Dave is doing. He's coming in, like, you know, obviously he's on the hot seat, but, like, he's also coming in as if, like, he's not on the hot seat as well. Like, he's just being himself. Like, he's not, you know, coming in, going crazy on people. Right. Like, he's still being the same dude.
Well, that's the one great thing about him.
Yeah.
Is he's always the same.
Yeah.
High, low, doesn't matter. He's always the same. He's consistent. And when you talk about him being better, I know you probably can't answer this, but has he given an indication of whether or not he's calling plays again?
No, he hasn't actually. Well, we haven't even called. We haven't, like, gotten into that. Like, it's only, like, day four. It's only day four, so we haven't really gotten into that. But, like, he hasn't, to be honest with you. He really hasn't because, like, he gets up and talks. The OC gets him. Like, everyone's getting their little – I don't know if y'all noticed, but, like, that everyone gives them – give their, like, presentation over, like, their spot on the offense, if that makes sense. So, like, some people, the running back coach, he has ball security. The, you know, wide receiver coach, he has, like, red zone and, you know, the hot spots and stuff like that on scramble drills. And so, like, that's what we're doing right now. We haven't really even got to, like, the play call. So,
did Russ give a speech?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, was it corny or was it, like,
cool? It was a cool speech. I feel like Jameis Winston was a little bit cooler. But,
I'm not surprised. Jameis is cooler.
But Jameis is just a free spirit, you know. Russ was, like I said, he's more strict, more straightforward. But when he got up, it wasn't really like a speech. It was more so, you know, about him, where he's from.
Right.
So that, you know, we can know a little bit about him.
I have a theory, and you're the perfect person to ask because you're there. And I said this to Tiki. I said, you know what concerns me about the Giants? Jameis Winston is a guy I want to follow. Jameis Winston's a guy I want to hear from. And I could see the offense saying, you know, no offense, Russ, we want to follow that guy. Is that a potential possibility that Winston is cool like you said and guys are just going to be like, yeah, Russ, you're all right. I want to follow him.
I mean, yes and no, but at the same time, I feel like Russ is the type of dude that, like, as long as we're all going on the same train, like, he don't care, you know, who we talking to or who we following. Like, I feel like Russ and Jameis are like this, you know what I'm saying? So, like, they're talking about the same things. Like,
right.
They're in the same room, obviously, so, like, they have the same core values, like, or they wouldn't be on the team. So, like, I feel like right now what we're doing and what they're saying is the same thing. So,
you guys aren't on the field yet, right? Have you been out on the field?
No.
So you're just in meetings, you're lifting weights, you're getting around each other.
Yeah.
You guys haven't been throwing the ball around, and obviously I think that happens right
after
the
draft. Yeah, the only thing we've been doing, like, routes on air, but, like,
right. That's
about it.
But nothing where it's formal. Like, this is what it sounds like in the huddle. This is Jameis calling the plays. This is Russ calling the plays.
This is
the lineup, what it's going to look like. And I ask that question because there's something about when a quarterback gets into a huddle and just has command of it.
Yeah.
Like, you know it when you see it. And you can't know that yet. But I'm curious who sounds more commanding in the huddle. I mean, honestly, because I know both of these guys.
Yeah.
I've called and followed both of them.
Yeah.
Rondé knows Jameis really well because when he was down in Tampa.
Yeah.
But their personalities are so different, but I also think they both have commanding presences in the huddle.
Yeah, like I said, I think that's the reason they're here, though. Like, when they talk, people listen.
Right.
You know, that's what you want. You want someone who's going to talk in a locker room, but then you want people who to listen to that person talk. You don't want someone to talk, but then everyone's like,
whatever.
You know what I'm saying? I don't care who this is. Like, but you want someone who's going to say something, and then people react to what they say. You know, if Jameis or Russ say, hey, everyone behind the line, I promise you, everyone's going to get behind the line.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then not only because of Jameis or Russ, but it's because, like, first of all, they got success that follows them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been in the league for a long time. Like, they know what it takes to get to the Super Bowl. They know what it takes to have winning seasons. You know, that's what we all want. We all want winning seasons. No one wants to lose games. Like, we don't do this to lose games. Like, we want to go out there and play well. Like, I got my mama watching the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't want my mom watching me getting blown out. You know what I'm saying? I want to win games.
We're talking to Tyrone Tracy of the New York Giants. Did you hear, you know, Tiki asked you about, did you hear the chatter of Dable being on the hot seat? Did you hear the chatter from Giant fans who actually didn't want you to win games at the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I understand because they want us to get the number one.
Yeah, right. No, that's the reason. Yeah.
But, like, they don't.
Bro, that drove me crazy.
Yeah, but they got to understand, like, we football players, but, like, we're not going out there thinking, like, we got to lose this game so that we can get the number one pick.
You hear that, fans? You hear that, Giant fans? Stop that BS. Never again. And if you call our show and you say it, I'm hanging up on you and I'm cussing you out. Period. Well said. Well said.
We go out there to win
games. Sean does it all the time.
We go out there to win games.
The guy dressed in
gold. I'm sorry for the fans that wanted to have number one pick. Like, I understand, but, like, I don't understand at the same time. I feel like if I were to tell you to go to your school or whatever and fail a test, you wouldn't go fail. You'd go get an A. So, you feel me? It's the same thing.
That's a good example. Especially when failing that test could lead them to drafting someone who could replace you. Not you particularly, but you in general. Like, getting a better player means, that may replace me at my workplace. So it's a weird thing.
Yeah, I mean, but to be honest with you, like, I never really think about that just because, like, I believe in myself. You know, I believe I'm here for a reason. And if someone do come in and take my job, that just means, like, God has something better for my purpose, you know. So if anything that does happen, you know, within this year to where, like, you know, I don't end up in the same spot I am right now, that just means something else.
You go play wide receiver?
I could, you know what I'm saying?
The more you can do.
I'm telling
you,
they always say
the more you can do.
I could. If they needed me to go play wide receiver.
Can you also play corner like Travis Hunter? Can you do that?
If they want me to.
There you go. What was, you know, tonight is a big night. It's the first round of the draft. Some guys are going to drop. Some guys are going to go up quicker. For you, where did you think you were going? Obviously, you kind of knew, all right, I'm not going night one. But what was the weekend for you like in terms of where you expected to go, whether it's round or even franchise?
Yeah, so to be honest, the Giants, they only talked to me one time throughout the whole process.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they talked to me at the Shrine Bowl. The GM was there. The head coach wasn't there. It was GM, so Joe, assistant GM Brandon and like all like the scouts.
Right.
You know, they was all there. When they had like a big table, I talked to them there. But other than that, they didn't talk to me. So I went to go visit the Cardinals, the Commanders, and I went to the Saints. And honestly, I thought it was going to be the Saints or the Commanders. Mm-hmm. So, because when I went to the Commanders, like, oh man, we really like you. You know, if we have a shot at you, we're going to take you early. And they had the last pick of the third round. That's when I was like, okay, this is a possibility.
Right. Feels right.
Like, it feels like it could be, but like, I didn't want to get my hopes up. So I was just like, yeah, like, if it don't happen, I'm cool. Like, I'm good. Be honest with you, I thought I was going to go like fourth round. But again, I truly believe everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. So, like, I believe I'm here with the Giants for a specific reason. So, every team that me and my agents went through that said that's going to take a running back, they took a running back. They just didn't take me. You know?
Do you think it hurt you because you switched positions? I mean, it's relatively new to you.
I think it really helped me. Because if you look at it, at my speed, I ran a 4.47. At my height and weight, where I'm 6'6", like 210, I'm a big average speed receiver.
Right.
But then you turn me to running back, I'm a big fast running back. You know, agile, that can catch the ball at the backfield, that can run
Makes
routes,
sense.
Like, you know, that has the receiver background, like all these different things.
You finished second amongst rookies in rushing last year, right, Bucky?
Yeah. He was first.
He was first down in Tampa. But that was really because of opportunities. He had more opportunities than you did. But as you look and go into season two, year two, what is your personal expectation? Forget the team for right now. We'll get to that in a second. But for you, where do you want to be?
To be honest with you, I want to have overall like 1,200 yards. I want 10 touchdowns. I want, you know, the Pro Bowl, All Pro. Like, I have all these big, huge accolades that I want for my name, because I truly believe, like, if you shoot super, super big, you'll be able to obtain it.
Now, with that being said, do you think you have the team to do that? Yeah. Offensively, why? Do you have the infrastructure to do it?
Yes. I didn't start playing until game five of last year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I had 800 yards or 600 yards at, you know, what I think it was like game 10, something like that around there.
No, but I mean your team. Is the offensive line good enough? Is the situation good enough for you to do that?
Yes, I said that part because before the injuries happened, you know, our run game was really, really good. You know, our protection was really good. But then obviously we had some injuries happen, like people go down. We start switching stuff up, you know, stuff start falling apart. But if we can stay healthy, I'm telling you, I can do it.
Yeah, we got confidence, man. So here's the thing. Tyrone Trace, you're good with it. Whoever they take at three, as long as it's not Ashton Jenkins. That's where we're at, Giant fans. Tyrone, we really appreciate you stopping by.
Appreciate y'all having me, man.
Really good talking to you.
I appreciate y'all.
There he is, the great Tyrone Tracy, here live from American Dream, here at Dream Bar. Now, we are late for the very first time ever in talking to Bad Tiki. And Bad Tiki has demanded he come on at 4:30. It is now 4:52. So my question to Tommy Lugauer, as the fine executive producer of this program, and I don't know because I'm afraid of him.
Yes.
Bad Tiki right now.
I think we should probably break and then do Bad Tiki.
Bad Tiki, that was Tommy's decision. That was not my decision. Tommy said break and then we'll hear from Bad Tiki. I just want that on the record because I'm chicken. And I'm not dealing with this.
I already get enough shrapnel from Bad Tiki. What's a little more?